Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship and the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
To heal them. So not only do we have a picture where we have folks sitting around listening to what Jesus would say, but it wasn't just any old kind of folk, but it was religious folk. It was folk that were supposed to know things about this. It was folks supposed to understand what was going on. And they didn't just come from the neighboring town, just from the near place, but they came from far and wide to sit at the feet of this man named Jesus to see what this was all about. And it's wonderful that scripture says here that not only were they there and not only was that was the scene, but that last sentence of verse number 17, it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in the presence of the power of God? Have you ever found yourself in a place where you didn't really understand how you got there to begin with, but just now that you know that there's an overwhelming power surrounded by you, there's just a feeling, there's just something that just gets you caught up just to know that there's something in the atmosphere that's about to happen. I don't know if you've been looking at it. I know that every single day I jump on the news, I look at all kinds of stuff because that's part of my job, but I'm here to tell you that I just don't think that God would orchestrate this world to be in the place that it is if he wasn't setting it up for something. Amen. Somebody better. Even if you start to think about your life and the things that you've gone through in your life and the stuff that's happened, it seems like every single time that hell starts to break loose in our life and we don't know where we're going to go, how we're going to make it, that's the perfect setup for God to show up. I need somebody to be in agreement with me today. That is the perfect setup for God to show out and do extraordinary things. How extraordinary would it be if I was feeling good already? How extraordinary will it be if everything was already lined up? How extraordinary would it be if I was in a situation where I secretly was patting myself on the back because it was feeling good? No, God allows some things to be a setup so that he could show these extraordinary things. Amen? Verse 18, it says, and behold, men brought in a bed. Now, how many people have heard this story before? Anybody ever heard this story about the man that was paralyzed, palsy, he was paralyzed, and he was on a bed, okay, and his friends, okay. It says, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, was paralyzed, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. So now, they've heard about Jesus as well. These men, this paralyzed man, they've heard about this man named Jesus, and this man named Jesus is in the town. Hey, I got to get to Jesus. I heard he healed the man with leprosy. I heard he's cast out demons. I heard he's done all this. Surely Jesus can heal me too. But when he gets there, it says, just in verse 17, that all of these other people from all of these other cities was there. So we're not talking about one or two people, but there was a crowd of folk around him. But this man said, look, I need to be healed. I want to be healed. It says now in verse number 19, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, it was so many people, they couldn't get him in the house. They went upon the housetop and they let him down through the tiling, which is couch, into the midst before Jesus. Now, I need somebody to really look at this. Answer this question first. Has there ever been anybody sitting in their house that all of a sudden your roof opened up and somebody came in? Okay, no, that's not happened to anybody here, right? That's never happened to me either. But if you try to picture that, could you imagine sitting in the house, we having a conversation, And all of a sudden, in the midst of this conversation, the tiles from the roof start to peel back. The ceiling starts to open up. And not only does it start to peel back and open up, now they start to lower somebody down on a cot. And they lower him down on a cot to where he sits right there by Jesus. Okay, do y'all got the picture? You got to have, you first of all, you got to know where your source is. You got to know where your source is. And no matter what the situation looks like, no matter what's going on, you can't let nothing keep you from your source. I don't care how bad your life is. I don't care about what situations you're going through. I don't care about the circumstances that you got going on in your life. As a believer, you have got to know that God is your source. And no matter what it takes for you to get to your
start meeting, share better.
No matter what it takes for you to get to your source, you got to be willing to go ahead and do it. So if I got to look foolish to everybody else to get to my source because I'm falling down here at my job, tears rolling down my face, and I'm crying out to Jesus, then call me a fool. Because that's what I got to do. They said, we're going to rip this roof out. And we're going to lower you, AJ, through the roof. Me and James going to pick you up and we're going to lower you down through the roof. You ready? You ready? That's how that's going to go. You ready? And we're going to lower you down into the roof. That's how that situation went. It was that easy. Just snatch you up like that. You see that? Okay, all right. Just in case when you get older, I just need you to remember that part. Just take them and lower them down to the... This is this situation. We can read that in a story, but when you really try to put that visual together, that's crazy. That's somebody that said, look, I don't care what anybody else think. I don't care what kind of meeting y'all got going on. I got a need. And praise God that we don't serve a type of God that said, wait a minute, I'm in a meeting. I need you to hold on. All right. So it says here, it says, and when they couldn't find a way, Tyler, verse 19, verse 20. And when he saw their faith, when Jesus saw that this man and his friends had concocted a way to still yet get before him, when he saw their faith, amen, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. Man, thy sins are forgiven. I don't think that's what was expected. I think that they might have expected Jesus to say, what in the world is going on? I think they might have expected Jesus just to heal the man right away. But I don't think anybody expected him to say, your sins are forgiven. He was paralyzed. He was on a cot. I wasn't living back then. I don't know. Maybe folk might have associated physical ailments with internal sin. Maybe that's why. I don't understand why thy sins are forgiven. No, I came here to be healed. I came here for you to get me up off this cot. You healed the man with leprosy. The story there, I didn't hear you say that his sins was forgiven. When you cast out devils, I didn't hear about sins being, but I heard that the people that were once going through are now all right. And so I've been going through and I just want to be all right. But Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? Now, here's the situation again. You got religious folk, all these affluent folk, not just from the city that he's in, but from all other cities that have gathered around to the point of when someone tried to get in the door that they couldn't get to Jesus because it was so many people. That they climbed up on the roof with someone in a stretcher, climbed up on the roof with him on a stretcher, began to peel back the roof as to the point that they wouldn't fall in, but that it would make a hole big enough to get this man on a stretcher through the roof, and then have the ability to lower him down right in front of Jesus. And Jesus' response is, your sins are forgiven. You got to be willing to go through whatever you got to go through to get wherever you need to be. It's just simple as that. We as a church, we as believers got to be willing to do whatever it is that we need to do to make sure that we get to God. That we take our cares, our issues, our whatever it is directly to Him. And then we got to check our circle of our friends that are around us. Because if you ain't willing to go with me,
Amen.
Then why are you here?
Amen.
Why are you a part of my inner circle if you're not willing to go? You got to have some people that's crazy enough in their faith, crazy enough in their hope, crazy enough in their belief that they're able to go ahead and say, yeah, we'll concoct whatever we need to concoct to make sure it gets done. Because we understand where the source is. Could Jesus have healed the man outside of the hut? He sure could have. It wouldn't have been no problem. Did Jesus not know what was going on? Of course he knew exactly what was going on. But scripture just said he saw their faith. Would you be guilty of somebody being able to see your faith? Have you responded to the latest situations and circumstances that have come up in your life? Have you responded in a way that folk would be able to see your faith? It says here, who can forgive sins but God alone? Here's what I love. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, now here is Jesus, who is God in flesh, who knows everything that's about to happen. Who knew, look, I already know what y'all thinking. Just because of my controversial comment to be able to say that your sins are forgiven. I already know what you're thinking. It says, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Because we talked about it before. We've talked about it several different times. We can sit here and think it all day long, but God looks at our heart. Reason ye in your hearts. Whether is it easy to say, thy sins be forgiven to thee, or to say, rise up and walk? He says, which one is easier for me to say? Which one is easier for me to accomplish? That the sins would be forgiven, or that you would rise up and walk. It says, but that they may know that the Son of Man, verse 24, have power upon earth to forgive sins. He turned and he says to the man that is sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house.
Amen.
I believe, in looking at this scripture, because it doesn't tell me any different, that as soon as he said that his sins were forgiven, that man's sins were forgiven. But it wasn't something that everybody could see. Who are you just to say things like that? It's blasphemy just for you to say that, just for you to think that you have the power to do such things. The religious leaders said, that's blasphemy. That's reason for you to be stoned. That's reason for you to be killed. For you to put yourself in the place of God, because God is the only one that could forgive sins. And Jesus says, well, I wonder, how can I make them understand? I know what I'll do. I'll heal them as well. And so he simply says to the man, he doesn't go through some elaborate ceremony. He doesn't pour oil all over him. He doesn't cast it. He doesn't go through all of this different stuff that we see sometimes. He simply says, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And as soon as he said it, let's look at verse 25. It says, and immediately, not after some time, not after some sulking, not after some speaking in tongues and going through all this, but it says immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God.
I got that on film too, Jalen.
So if this man had just said, I forgive you of your sins, but I can't really see that part. But then he says, arise, take up your couch, go on back to your house. And immediately after he said that, the man that was paralyzed, anybody ever seen somebody paralyzed? Ever seen somebody paralyzed? One of the things about a person that's paralyzed, when the arm doesn't move anymore, or when the leg doesn't move anymore, the skin doesn't have as much elasticity that it would normally have for bending back and forth.
Turn your back.
And so when a person is laying there paralyzed, you know, you can start to see where things are stiffened up and where things. Now here's this man. It doesn't say exactly how long he was paralyzed, but he was paralyzed. Paralyzed enough that he was on a couch and that he had friends taking him to and fro here and there. And immediately, this man is healed. Immediately, this man gets up. Now, if I doubted this man had the ability to forgive sins a few moments ago, but now the next thing he says is arise and get up, and old boy gets up. That ought to be an eye-opening experience. You know, it's like, you know, it's like when you've been asking God to do something big, you've been asking God to do some extraordinary stuff, and you've been saying, God, I need you to work this out. I need you to work it out. But you ain't really seen the fruits of that working out yet. But then you come back and you say something, Lord, bless me. I need some lunch today. You know, something that you might have just taken for granted. And Lord, but then immediately, God works that out. That ought to be some reassurance to let you know that your extraordinary thing that you've been praying about, that thing that you thought that was too big, that dream that you thought that was too much that you had been praying about, that ought to let you know God's working on that.
Amen.
God's already got that accomplished. And in accomplishing that, there might just need to be some other people that need to get in their place. That might be the reason why you hadn't seen it yet, but get ready, because extraordinary is about to happen. Amen. Because here's what goes on in verse number 26, and this is the verse that had me shouting and happy right here. Verse number 26 says, and they were all amazed. Okay, just stop right there. It says they were all amazed. So that means the people that was from Galilee and from Judea and from Jerusalem and that were religious leaders and were the scribes and were the law folk and that was just the ordinary folk and the people that was there to be healed and the people that was just there to see. Come on, you know when you get a crowd around, everybody ain't there for the same reason. Some people there just because they want to see. I remember when me and my wife got married, we didn't send out no invitations, but we got there to the church and walked through the church. The church was halfway feel. There was some folk that was there because they just wanted to see. Lord, it ain't really Lord. They just want to see. You know, you get something like the folk that just want. But scripture says here was a house that it had so many people that they couldn't get the man to Jesus. So the only way they could get to him was to get up on the roof. But scripture says that once he healed the man, and the man did exactly what God said. He took up his couch and he says, go home. Scripture says that he grabbed his stuff and he went home. And the whole time he was glorifying the Lord. So he was in the building. So he had to get to his house. So he had to go through the building. I don't know if it had other rooms, if it had other chambers or what. But then he had to go out the door. And then he had to make it through the multitude to go get to his house. And it says the whole while he was doing it, he was praising God.
Amen.
And because the folk saw what was going on, now check who saw what actually happened. Probably only the people that was in the room with Jesus. I mean, the people that was outside, they couldn't see that the man got healed, could they? Only thing they saw is somebody that was carried in was now running out carrying what he was carried on and glorifying God. And then scripture says, I'm going to read it because I don't want to say it. Did you think I'm saying? And they were all amazed. That lets me know that when we go through and we got some stuff going on, folk ain't got to know the whole story. But if folk just see the end outcome, and not necessarily the end outcome that the man was healed, but that the man was glorifying God. I saw you come in one way. I see you come back out another way. As believers, we ought to have that attitude sometimes. It's not that we're not going to go through. We're going to go through and things are going to happen. But we come in one way, we ought to leave a whole totally different way. understanding and knowing that God is on us, we got everything that we need. Not only did he heal the man, because it doesn't say, but I'm sure he's happy that he was healed from being paralyzed. But which one you think was more important? The fact that he was healed from being paralyzed, or the fact that his sins were forgiven? It doesn't say which one he was glorifying over, but I would beg to differ that if he ever understood what having his sins forgiven in comparison to being healed from his physical ailments, he would treasure the fact that the sins were forgiven more. It says, and all were amazed. Not only were they amazed, it says, and now they glorified God. Not only were they amazed, but this man was glorifying God. Just started a praise party. Does everybody have a picture? So now we got all these folk around that came around that was doubting, that was saying all that. Jesus has healed the man. He's forgiven the man of his sins. He's healed the man. The man has come out praising God, carrying the thing that once carried him. I need somebody. Good gracious. He's carrying the thing that once carried him. He runs through the multitude praising God. And now all are amazed. And then it says in the next sentence there, not only were they amazed, but they started to glorify God too. Do you see how his praise became contagious? Do you see how his glorification of God became something that other folks seemingly couldn't contain? And scripture tells us that God inhabits the praises. So maybe the next time we run across our own situation or our own circumstance, instead of sitting back like a bump on a log, woe is me, maybe we ought to prepare for the extraordinary to happen. Come on, somebody. Maybe we ought to start to prepare for that extraordinary thing to happen. And based upon this story right here that I'm reading, the preparation for the extraordinary to happen is that you just got to be in the right place at the right time. You got to be in the right place at the right time. Well, Pastor, how do I get in the right place at the right time? Baby, I'm glad you asked. You get in the right place at the right time with God wherever you at. Because he's omnipresent. And so he's already there. You're already where you need to be. Don't worry about getting there. You're there. You don't have to worry about somebody ripping apart tiles. Baby, you're there. But now, what's going to be your response? Because not only is the God we serve omnipresent, but he's also all-powerful. And so, meaning not only could he heal or take care of your situation, but even the things that are unseen that you ain't even requesting, God knows that you need it. The man didn't beg. The man didn't ask for his sins to be forgiven. God saw that his sins needed to be forgiven. And so God said, I'm just going to give you what you need. You might have came here for something else, but I'm going to give you what you need. And not only am I going to give you what you need, but now that I've given you what you need, I'm going to use you as a tool to bless everybody else here. And so the thing that once carried you, you're going to run out of here carrying that. And you're going to do that glorifying God the whole time. And your glorification of God is going to become contagious. Because regardless of what everybody else came here for those that wanted to see, for those that wanted to know, that those who are trying to get something, it's going to become contagious. And now they all glorify God. Amen? It says, and were filled with fear. Not scared. Okay, not the type of fear that scares us, like the boogeyman type kind of fear. Okay, but the type kind of fear to say, I need to be obedient. The type kind of fear that says, I came here looking for one thing and was going to act and respond one way, but the type of fear that says, I might need to double check that and get myself together, because this is God who we're talking about. And then it says, the last sentence, they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Strange things today. I don't know about you, but I'm getting ready for the extraordinary. I'm getting ready for the extraordinary. I've gone through seasons in my life where I know I'm not physically paralyzed, but I've gone through seasons in my life where I felt like there just wasn't nothing I could do. And I had to pick up the phone and I had to call somebody else to depend upon. I had to call on somebody else to encourage me. I had to call on somebody else to give me some positive words. I need to call on my inner circle to pull back some tiles and to lower me down. To put me before Jesus. That would lift my name up in prayer. They will call out, not just Kevin Gerard Webb. I need you to call my whole name. Because this is what I need. And in doing so, God not only has given me what I've asked for, but God has taken care of it all. He's done extraordinary things. And here's the kicker. If he's done extraordinary things once, just once, then he can do extraordinary things again. And when I look at 2017, we're in a place that we need some extraordinary things. We need folk to stop being all divided. We need folk to stop trying to press down somebody else to try to get up theyself. We need folk to not worrying about pocketbooks, but we need folk to just worry about people. It's people hurting and it's people going through. Okay, let's respond. Period. I don't need to worry about what I'm going to get a kickback on it. I don't need my name to be on it. I just need to go ahead and do what it is God's calling me to do. And he said that when I was hungry, he didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I had no shelter, well, how will they know that you're a believer? They'll know by your response. What should be my response as a believer? That you would love one another, as I've loved you. It's not me. That's all scripture. Is there anybody that wants to see 2017 end better than what it's been?
Amen. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God. Anybody that wants to see 2017 end better than what it's begun?
Yes, Lord.
Well, if that's the case, that lies with us. Amen. That lies with how we respond. How we respond to what God is allowing us to go through. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be down. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have depression. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have different things to go on, because that's part of living. Those things will come. But just as soon as those things will come, guess what else they'll do? They'll go. So as we prepare for extraordinary things, we got to be in the right place in the right time, right? We already took care of that. Are we in the right place? Only thing we're waiting on is the right time, right? We're in the right place. Not only are we in the right place, we gotta be careful of who our inner circle is. I don't have to agree with everything with my inner circle. You don't become part of my inner circle because you agree with everything that I say. If you're going to agree with everything that I say, then I can do this by myself. But let those in your inner circle be the ones that are willing to go ahead and tell you, hey, when you're wrong, you're wrong. When you slip hanging, you slip hanging. When something needs to be different or to be able to give a different point of view and be able to agree and disagree, then that's great. But the goal is, we got to get this person in front of Jesus. And so if your inner circle ain't willing to climb up on the roof, your inner circle ain't willing to rip back some tiles, your inner circle isn't strong enough to hold you up when you need to be held up, then you need to check who your inner circle is. Amen? And you got to let your praise be contagious. You got to let your... how does ever been sitting in a service? Let me say this. You ever been sitting in a service and someone has a Holy Ghost filled moment, a moment where they're overwhelmed or whatever their situation is, wherever they're going through, and it's something that speaks directly to your heart? Ever been in a service like that and it speaks directly to your heart? You ever been in a service where it could just be preaching, it could be singing of a song, it could be somebody giving their testimony, and it feel like God just pricks your heart? Amen. If you've ever had that feeling, is that not a wonderful feeling? Is that not an awesome feeling? I think what happens a lot of time in church is that people get too tied up. They become too tight. They become too, this is that flow of service, and folk aren't willing just to let go. The folk are more or less concerned about what somebody's going to think or how somebody else is going to look at it or whatever. But actually have come to this place. I didn't come here today so that somebody could say, "Oh, Pastor, I like your suit." I didn't come here today so somebody could say, "Man, oh, your shoes or whatever." I didn't come here for all of that. I came here today because I've been called to preach, and God, I want to do what you're telling me to do. But God, in the process of still telling, doing what it is that you're telling me to do, I'm in need too. I need a word too. I need some extraordinary too. I need all of those things. But how do we get those things if we don't do what he says do? Who came here to worship God today? All right? Came here to worship God today, right? And so that looks like just about everybody raised their hand that they came here to worship God today. How does Scripture say that we're supposed to worship him? In spirit and truth. You back there, you can be sitting in your chair faking the funk if you want to. You ain't going to get nothing out of your worship. Get ready for extraordinary things. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord.